It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Good morning, everybody. A happy Friday to you. I gotta tell you, emotional roller coaster for me today. A lot of feelings, a lot of thoughts, a lot of opinions. We'll dive into the Kings' loss to the Trailblazers last night. A trade the Kings made just before the deadline might be the most significant move Monty McNair has made since Domantas Sabonis.
Ever.
ever. We'll talk about it. Well, I was going to say ever, and then I was like, oh, yeah, he did the Domas trade. Never mind.
Ever.
So I want to get into all that. I got to tell you, though, I'm trying this thing. It's called reading.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I've gotten big into reading books. I am a person who, when I read, I have a hard time keeping my eyes open.
Okay.
And so I have friends who will do like, yeah, these are the three books I read this month. And I'm like, oh, this is the book I read over the last 3 months.
Okay.
Because I'm reading like a chapter a night kind of thing, right? But mm-hmm. it's the way, because you know, you have, we talk about this a lot. Not that this is some hardship of our job, it's just a reality of it, is after you're done covering a game, ostensibly working, and then it's 10 o'clock, 10:30, it's really hard to just go to sleep. Like, turn your brain off and go to bed.
Oh, yeah, totally.
So I've taken to reading to help me wind down at the end of the night, because I'm doing a couple different things before I'm going to bed. So I've taken to reading, and I'm reading this book right now called All the Light We Cannot See,
okay,
by Anthony Doerr, and it is a Netflix series, and I want to watch the series, but I wanted to read the book first. It is a beautifully written book, super fast-paced, just a really, really well-done book. It takes place during World War II, and it follows a couple of different storylines. And I don't want to give away the whole premise, but that's typically been a book that, like, there's some heavier stuff in it, but it's really engaging, and it's like I said, just the way it's written is great, and it's been really helpful to help me wind down at the end of the night. I read three chapters last night
mm-hmm.
that covered three different like storylines in the book, and the end of each chapter was absolutely devastating. Just brutal. Like, because again, you get the idea. It's about World War II.
Like, I've seen the
okay.
The
so,
actual
okay.
Netflix series.
Okay. Yeah. So you understand it's not like, I'm not at the end, so don't tell me yet. But you understand that it's not like a happy tale, right? It's like it's tough.
It's gut wrenching.
It is.
Yeah.
And so the three chapters that I read last night, and so now I'm sitting here, I put my book down. And I have done no work toward going to sleep. I am just on high alert emotionally. And so I spent a lot of time thinking about the Sacramento Kings last night. And I'm excited to dive into it today to unpack the stuff I thought about for an hour and 20 minutes while I was trying to fall asleep last night.
I probably could have used some sort of war book to try to get the last week out of my head.
Yeah,
like
a lot going on.
I've got a lot of them. I've got a lot of history books that I probably should have done the same thing. I typically read during the summer when I go on vacation.
Sure, that tracks.
I like to just like
get away from basketball.
Shut things off,
sure.
And get away.
Yeah. So the Kings fell to the Trailblazers 108-102 last night. This isn't breaking news, but their defense is going to be a significant problem.
Yeah, I tried to tell people
like
that.
I know. But it's something that you think, okay, you can kind of piece this together. You can figure it out. But if you're going to insist that Keon Ellis, your best defender,
yeah,
can't start or close games, you're going to have a really, really hard time winning. And I know that this is not deep analysis, this is not breaking news, but you had three guys in your starting lineup score 20 last night, and it just didn't matter. And we want to talk about playoffs with this team. You get to the postseason where there's going to be points in games where you go, hey, you know what? We need three stops in a row here. I do not trust the Sacramento Kings to get a stop at all. And I don't know that there's a lineup that they're putting on the floor right now that I trust to go get a stop at all. And that is when you start talking ceiling, because that's where we're at. This is no longer a team where like, hey, how do you get to the playoffs? No, we're trying to raise the ceiling higher than that. Last night was glaring to me. The offensive stuff, I think they'll figure out. I don't think they're going to, you know, be held to 102 points very often. But it's the defensive side that I just don't see a path forward where they're going to be nearly good enough to be impactful in the postseason.
Yeah, so when I was watching the game, I think it's crazy because a couple of things stood out. I thought Domantas Sabonis had one of his best defensive games I've seen him play ever. Like, his defense in the post was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
He is not a true rim protector, but last night, like, he got into Ayton, he got into all of their bigs,
mm-hmm.
kept them at bay. Anytime they tried to, like, do little jump hooks or whatever, mm-hmm. he was right there. I thought he was spectacular. The problem is that he fouled out, and mm-hmm. he fouled out because his teammates didn't play defense. His teammates just, like, allowed him to get abused.
It was like Portland. And again, Portland has a lot of talented young players.
Mm-hmm.
They're not a terrible team in the vein of Charlotte or Washington.
Defensively, they've been really good over the last, like, 10 days, 10 games.
They're not an offensive juggernaut, though, that it feels like everything they were doing offensively was just, hey, do you want to drive this time? No, you can drive. No, how about, hey, let's skip pass over there. You can drive this time. And it was just free lane to the hoop whenever they wanted it. And that's just not, again, even against Orlando, I'm not that worried about the Kings offense. They have too many really, really great scorers to be terrible offensively.
Okay.
Now, the ball movement stuff might be a problem.
Yeah, see, I disagree. I think their offense is in trouble as much as their defense.
Really?
Yeah, because, okay, so offense, you know, and defense are so tied together. Like,
sure.
The way to get transition buckets is of course, to get a defensive stop and get out mm-hmm. on the break, right? But for me, you cannot, like, this is like basketball 101.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot take just five great offensive players, set them on the court, and say, we're going to win every game. It never, ever works that way because mm-hmm. you got a bunch of egos. You got a bunch of weirdness going. I'm watching Domantas Sabonis take six shots last night. The night before, I watched Keegan Murray take six shots in that game.
Mm-hmm.
That's just unacceptable. Yeah. What we have right now is a me situation, and it's going to take a little while to figure out all of that.
Sure.
But in the meantime, it's horrific to watch. For me, it makes my eyes bleed. Like, I don't want to watch this like 1990s New York Knicks basketball.
Yes.
It's painful. It is painful to watch. And then I almost, like, there are times where it's almost like, oh, I'm going to pass the ball a bunch of times so no one says anything.
Mm-hmm.
That, like, I'm taking too many shots. It's like, okay.
It's not even, I wouldn't even mind that. If Zach LaVine got the ball above the break and went, you know what, hey, I've been dribbling the air out of the ball. I need to get rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine with that. But the issue is I'm going to get rid of it, and then I'm going to stand here. There is so much off the ball. Okay. Like, cut, move, do anything.
I think you throw Jonas Valanciunas out there, and he's like, what is happening? And just runs around and looks like a giant beast on the court, just like, he's the only one moving.
Yes.
Like, what is happening? Look at him go. And everyone else is like, huh.
There was one possession last night where he caught it, like, at the elbow. Like, he came up and he caught it at the elbow. And he turned, like, looking for a cutter. And it's just four guys standing on the perimeter. And he had to throw this weird, like, sidearm pass to get it out to I think it was LaVine, maybe.
Yeah.
But I don't, and again, they haven't gotten to practice.
And they're not going to.
They're not going to get a ton of opportunity to practice. They have the All-Star break coming up, which maybe they can get a couple of days in, which we discussed yesterday. But
and per NBA rules, after a back-to-back, you're not allowed to practice.
Right.
So they're no practice today.
I think the overarching issue is, if we're going to zoom out, every team needs to have a hierarchy when it comes to scoring the basketball. That's just a fact of the NBA. Because if not, you're going to get what you're running into with the Kings right now, where it's three different guys, Monk, LaVine, and DeRozan, saying, this is my time.
They're playing King of the Mountain.
Yes. And that's not, well, okay, if you're big into like individual ball handling and shot creation, you might love this. But it's not conducive to winning.
Yeah. If you like watching fancy dribbling and then losses, that's what you're going to get.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. It's just really tough because, again, you're adding players out of nowhere, right? And you're changing the entire direction of the team out of nowhere. We talked about it yesterday a little bit, how like just the basics of the dribble handoff versus a pick and roll, you can visually see on the court that Zach LaVine has never played in a DHO system with a dribble handoff. He does not know where to go with Sabonis.
Nope.
And so right now you can't really do a two-man game. And for some reason, the Kings are trying to work it out on the court as opposed to just giving the ball to Monk and having Monk and Sabonis go get you eight easy baskets in the DHO
game. 1,000%.
In the pick and roll. Like, you're like, what is happening?
Like, Zach, go stand in the corner. We're going to run this two-man game. It might come to you. If you're open, shoot it. If not, put it on the deck, get to the rack, and play make.
And while you're standing in the corner watching, actually watch what's happening. Watch the action. Learn something from what Malik Monk is doing.
A little live film.
It is. It's a live film study. Like, go out there and watch what they're doing. But they've gone away from it completely. Mm-hmm. And it's like, if I'm Sabonis, I'm sitting here like, if this is the way it's going to be, we'll deal with this in the summer. Mm-hmm. And you guys want, like, do you think he's going to want to be here for that? No.
Definitely not.
No. We talked about this being the Bulls 2.0, Bulls West Coast. It sure does feel like it. And I don't know whose idea was to emulate the Bulls over the last couple of years because they have not been good.
We talked about that. Domantas Sabonis is a significantly better player than Nikola Vucevic.
He's a significantly better player than everyone else on the Kings team.
Yeah. Right now. On the Bulls discussion, though.
Yeah.
We went, hey, he's not, you know, Zach LaVine's played in, you know, with the center, you know, before, but Domas is so much better, so maybe that helps. And it's like, no, they're turning him into Nikola Vucevic.
Yeah.
And that's not what they should be doing.
Not at all.
So, like I said, maybe I'm being overly optimistic in saying they'll figure it out, and I think it'll look better. The problem comes back to that hierarchy, though. And whose team is it? Whose offense is it? Who has the ball in their hands? Who's playmaking? Because to me, it's very obvious that the offense should be running through Malik Monk. When they did that, he's averaging, what, as a starter? He's 20-7?
Yeah, as a really starter? Close. Yeah, really close to 20 points.
Those are good numbers, especially for a modern point guard. Mm-hmm. That's about where you're going to sit, is that 7-8 assist range. And you're going to get that with Malik Monk. The problem is that's not off-ball stuff. Is not DeMar DeRozan's game.
No.
Off-ball stuff is not Zach LaVine's game. And can they play? Can they do things? Sure, but it's not their primary job. And I don't know that getting them to fit in an offense that is primarily the Sabonis-Monk two-man game, I don't know if that's ever going to be a thing. Because if every time they get the ball, it's put it on the deck and I'm going to work for my shot, That's not going to lead to a ton of wins. It might work on some nights where Zach LaVine gets hot and he goes 15-22 from the field and 9-13 from three. And wow, look, he scored. He had 40 last night. And maybe you win that one. But on a night-to-night basis, on a game-in, game-out basis, especially in a playoff series where you're facing a team seven times in a row and they're going to figure out what you're doing, it's just not it's not going to play. So, I like I said, I don't think they're going to get held to 102 every night, because there are going to be certain little things they figure out, and I think they'll start being more efficient offensively. But at their core, they've stacked up two offensive players in DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, who just don't fit with what they want to do offensively. Or what they should be doing offensively.
I'm hoping that it's learning with LaVine.
Mm-hmm.
Like, DeMar is who he is, and you're not going to change that. And it's okay to have a player like DeMar. You can't have multiple players like DeMar that have. And so really, you're just looking at dueling banjos.
Yep.
Like that, it just doesn't work. And like, unfortunately, we've seen it in the first two games, but like it's early. They do need practice time. They need time to figure things out. I'm not hitting some panic button. I just know that like the analytics said that this is what it would look like already. Mm-hmm. And that's why this trade wasn't made years ago, because the analytics said, no, it's not going to work. And we're seeing it play out in real time. Mm-hmm. And you're just hoping that they can make adjustments and they can learn how to play together and they can push forward. Because yep. what we saw right now, I don't care how many years DeMar DeRozan played with Valanciunas. I don't care how many years DeRozan and LaVine played together. They haven't played with Monk. They haven't played with Sabonis. When you get them all together, it doesn't look right.
Nope. It sure doesn't. Okay, the Super Bowl is happening. FYI, we're going to dive into the Super Bowl coming up in a bit. Chiefs and Eagles, we've got a rematch of that one. We'll dig into that one. And I think Monty McNair yesterday made the second most important acquisition of his tenure, and we'll talk about it next. He's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We're The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. This is ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
All right. James is over there. I'm Kyle. The Kings made a couple of trades, one of which debuted last night. Jonas Valanciunas debuted for the Kings last night.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we're trying to inject like some layer of positivity into this.
Yes.
With our giveaway from our friends at Jiffy Lube.
Okay.
So today's keyword, which you can enter at ESPN1320.com, you go to the Jiffy Lube contest page. And if you enter the keyword there that we're about to give you, Jiffy Lube's going to hook you up. Well, and if you get picked to win, you don't just get it. This is how you enter
to
win. You're
entering to win.
The winner will get hooked up from Jiffy Lube with a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate and an exclusive Insiders hoodie that you can only get through this contest or if you work here.
But and they're super nice.
They're really nice. There was no expense
spared.
There was no expense spared. I was going to say paid. That's wrong. There was no expense spared in the making of these hoodies. Our guy Jim designed them. They're extremely dope. We got them in red, blue, black. So you win that with a $50 Jiffy Lube gift certificate. Courtesy of our friends at Jiffy Lube, all you got to do is go to the ESPN1320.com Jiffy Lube contest page and enter the code word Jonas. J-O-N-A-S.
Yep.
Jonas.
Like Jonas, but only it's pronounced Jonas.
Right. The Jonas Brothers.
Yep.
I don't know. No, Valanciunas is good last night, man. Doing 6 points, 5 boards, 3 assists, 17 minutes.
He just looked like a highly competent center.
It was jarring.
It was so jarring. And I got to be honest, Donovan Clingan looks like every single 7 foot white center from the 80s and 90s.
Yep. Moves like it.
I'm just watching Randy Brewer run up and down the court. I'm watching Jim Peterson run up and down the court. I don't know what to say.
Guy's still very much figuring it out in the NBA.
He just looks like every super tall guy from, you know, like he's not as tall as Mark Eaton, but right there.
Yeah, like, just, yeah. Yeah, he moves. The way he moves, it just looks like the game's still a little fast.
Yeah, yeah. Gray Ghoster tag. Got it.
Good one.
Yep.
The other trade the Kings made might be the second most significant acquisition in the Monty McNair era.
I'm here for this take, Kyle. I need to know this take.
I love Jake LaRavia for this Kings team.
Okay.
He's not the best player Monty McNair has acquired.
No. Nope.
Not by a long shot. But what have we been asking for? We've been asking for perimeter players with size.
Yep.
He's 6'7".
6'8".
He's 6'7 or 6'8. and he does the things like I'm of the mind that the Kings did not need more players who are like, hey, get in the ball and he's gonna go score. They needed players like Keon.
Mm-hmm.
that are just gonna play good defense. They're gonna get a tough rebound. They're gonna steal a couple extra possessions per game. They're just gonna know where to be on the court, and they're just gonna do the right stuff. They might not put anything on the stat sheet, and they can have an impact.
Yep,
that is what Jake LaRavia does. He's gonna play his ass off defensively. He's gonna shoot the heck out of the basketball. He's not gonna create a ton, but he's gonna go grab some rebounds, and he's gonna hustle, and he's gonna play hard, and he's gonna do it at 6 foot eight. Seven. Six, seven and a half.
Six, 6 3/4 without shoes.
6'7"-ish. He's going to do it at small forward / power forward size. Like, this is a big deal. When I was watching the Kings last night, and I'm watching that lineup, I texted you. It was Valanciunas with I think it was Keon, Keegan, Trey Lyles, and Devin Carter. And I was like, man, if they had another, like, just... if Devin Carter was 3 years from now and just like a more functional NBA player.
Yes.
Who wasn't a rookie in his 10th game or whatever it is.
A rookie that missed the first 6 months.
Yeah.
Of, you know.
Like. And not to say that Jake LaRavia would necessarily play with that specific lineup, but you see all these pieces that you can put together, and he's just a connector to me. For so many of these lineups where you look and you go, they just need a little more defense in this lineup. A little more shooting in this lineup. I think he can fit with everything they want to do, because he knows he's a role player and he fits into that role, and he's going to slot perfectly into what the Kings need. He's going to make an impact the second he steps on the floor, and he's going to do it without needing to have the ball in his freaking hands.
I hope that you're right with all of that, because I mean, basically what you're describing is like a Martin twin. We keep asking for that type of player.
Yes.
A player that goes out there and is the connector, the guy mm-hmm. that helps put piece everything together and doesn't require a whole bunch of extra. Mm-hmm. My only concern is that every time we think that the Kings get one of these guys, it doesn't really work out that way. You know, the Chris Duartes of the world, there are multiple players like this over the course of the last 5 years where you think, oh, well, that might really work, and mm-hmm. then it doesn't. So I think the one good thing is LaRavia is he's durable. He's a guy that's been playing 20 minutes a night for a very, very good Memphis Grizzlies team. And to be honest with you, I'm kind of surprised that they moved off of him. Like they had the Marcus Smart deal that they had to make some moves but they're clearing up salary space and all that stuff. But I was surprised because the guy can play. He can shoot. He's shown that he has been part of a rotation on a good team this season.
Yep.
And so you're hoping that he steps right on the court and just does the little stuff, the dirty work. You know, I think some of the biggest issues that I have, even like the last couple of games, is you're watching Domantas Sabonis pick up number one cheap fouls because his guards are getting blown by, mm-hmm. right? So that's a problem. But then he's also getting fouls on rebounds, mm-hmm. and he's getting fouls on rebounds because no one else is doing anything. Where are you? Where is everybody? He fouled out last night on a rebound where he went up. Where was his forward or his guard blocking
out?
Get
a body on somebody.
Get a body on anybody. Why is it Domas' responsibility to go up and get every single rebound?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, this is a guy that doesn't mind mixing it up a little bit. There are players like this that go around in the NBA and are highly successful because they do the little things. And I would realistically go to Memphis in the same way a lot of teams used to go to San Antonio
mm-hmm.
and try to like pilfer their peripheral players
yeah.
because they learn how to play. Memphis players know how to play. They fit guys into a system and they just keep rolling. And this is one of those guys.
The fact that you spit out pilfer their peripheral players without even slowing down
yeah.
or thinking about it is extremely impressive. I want to let you know that.
Okay.
I sat here thinking about how I needed to pronounce that to say it right on the first try, and you just said pilfer their peripheral players just on a line. That was incredible. But Jake LaRavia, 7 points, 4 boards, 3 assists in 21 minutes a night off the bench this year for Memphis while playing really good defense.
And what does he shoot from three?
He's 44% this year, but he was 34% last year.
Yeah.
But and he came 34% into, the year before that.
He came into the league as a three-point shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe the best player to ever come out of Indiana State University, some are saying. That's a Larry Bird joke, in case anybody.
Yeah.
Anyways. No, I just, when I saw this yesterday, I just like Jake LaRavia from the little bit of Memphis I watched, because again, he's one of those players that you'll watch Memphis play and you'll be like, man, I bet Jake LaRavia has like 16 and 9 tonight. And then you'll look and he has 6 and 5.
Mm-hmm.
But he's just around.
He's just kind of like a young, like small forward slash power forward version of Trey Lyles. Like, it's same type of player, mm-hmm. where when you put them on the floor, you understand that they're going to do the right thing most of the time.
Yes.
They're not going to go outside of their comfort zone. They're not going to throw a ball 18 rows deep into the stands trying to do some crazy pass.
Nope.
And, you know, maybe it isn't, like, super sexy, but you have other players that can do that.
That's it. They didn't need that. They needed this.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to play hard on defense. He's going to grab rebounds. He's going to knock down threes when it gets to him. He's not going to try and do too much with the ball in his hands.
He's going to pass when he needs to pass. A
really smart cutter.
Uh-huh.
I think this is going to be, even if he averages 7 and 3, I think it's going to be one of those, or 7 and 4 he's at this year. Even if he averaged 7 points and 4 boards, this is going to be one of those additions that if the Kings do kind of get on a little bit of a roll here, there's going to be a lot of nights where we're going, man, Jake LaRavia had some really good minutes.
Yep.
And he's just a player they didn't have. He's not a 6'8", 6'7"-ish.
Yeah. No. I was 6'8", with shoes. And
taller than 6'6".
6'8", with shoes. That's fine. I don't think he is a lockdown defender. I think he's a good team defender. I think he's going to be a hustle player. He's going to do a lot of the dirty work, and
that's it. It's not,
yeah, you have to have those guys.
But again, and this is where, I think you can feel good about him in a lineup with Keon Ellis and Keegan Murray. And then let's say Monk and Sabonis. But if you want, you can put LaVine and Valanciunas or whoever. Like, you just need a person who can handle the basketball. You feel good about him being out there because, okay, Keon can take the best guard and Keegan can get the best wing and Jake LaRavia can competently defend the third guy. And right now they just don't have that.
Yep.
So I'm a huge fan of the fit here. And I think that Jake LaRavia is going to make an impact for the Kings.
Yeah, and, you know, today we're going to get a chance to, at 2 o'clock, the Kings are holding a press conference again today with Jonas Valanciunas and Jake LaRavia. So we'll get a chance to, like, hear him a little bit and how he thinks he fits and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I think it's one of those things where you can't just keep going out and thinking that all you have to add is superstar-level players or star-level players or guys who average 20 points a game.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how functional basketball works. Look at every team that around the league and just really for as many stars as like the Knicks have, it's, you know, Hart that is such a huge part mm-hmm. of what they do because he does all of the dirty work
mm-hmm.
and really good teams. That's what they do. They have these other guys, the Lou Dorts of the world.
Yes.
And got to have them.
Those guys get elevated as role players because of the stars around them. They get elevated because they are very good in their roles. I don't think OG Anunoby in a vacuum is a player that somebody believes is a NBA star. Mikal Bridges, same deal.
Mm-hmm.
But you plug him in with Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns and Josh Hart, and you put him in the roles that they play, and you're like, wow, that's an awesome player.
Yep.
Jrue Holiday, same thing. Jrue Holiday has built a Hall of Fame career off being the guy who's just perfect in his role. Not a superstar in the Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown vein, but really elite at what he does because he just does the right stuff.
Yeah. To be honest with you, the Doug Christie role. He needs to find out. And I mean, it's LaRavia's like more in line with Scott Pollard, you know, and how he fit in and helped mm-hmm. the team than he is in line with Doug Christie as a starter,
mm-hmm.
but as a, you know, a guy who is, you know, your 8th, 9th, 10th guy,
mm-hmm.
that's what you're hoping for. You're hoping that he can earn solid minutes by doing the right thing all the time.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll have to see, though. There are so many moving pieces, and to try to put this thing together again for a first-year coach in the middle of a season after you lost your 1A,
mm-hmm.
it's just really, really difficult. This is, like, jumbled up, and there are pieces everywhere, and you've got to try to put it together. If you're Doug Christie, and I, like, this is a tall task.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not going to be easy for sure.
Yeah.
The other thing that jumped out to me last night, and something that I think is going to be worth discussion going forward, is I'm more concerned than ever. I shouldn't say concerned. I am more sure than ever, more confident than ever. I think this is just Keegan. I think this is just kind of who he's going to be as a pro. And that's not this is not a knock on him. It's not that he's a bad player. But he's averaging, what, 12 and 7 this year, I think?
Yeah.
12 points, 7 boards. Yeah, I think he's going to be a better shooter than he is this year. But this leap from Keegan Murray, Kawhi Leonard was the name that came up a lot early last year. Because it was like, wow, look at this jump he's taking defensively. We already know he can shoot. If he can create a little bit, oh my God, a powerhouse. An absolute juggernaut. And it's just becoming more clear to me that I was worried about it last year, and it's just being cemented this year. I don't think he's ever going to get into that like max extension, max contract type of player. I think he's going to be an awesome role player.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's nothing wrong with that. We just talked about all the guys on the Celtics who are going to go to the Hall of Fame because they play really good roles. But I kind of think this is just him. He's 24. He turns 25 before next season. It's not like this is some 22-year-old still figuring it out. You mentioned it. 10 shots against OKC, 11 shots against Minnesota. 11 shots against Minnesota in a game where he scored 17 in the first quarter. 6 shots against Orlando, and then 10 last night.
And all of it was in the first half. He had one shot after halftime.
It feels disappointing because the bar got set so high for him.
Mm-hmm.
He came out blazing his rookie year. It's like, man, arrow pointing way up. Year two, got way better defensively. Not as good offensively, but hey, you know what? He can bounce back offensively. Combining that with that defense, ooh, there might be an all-NBA type of player in here. There might be an all-star type of player here. And then, oh, he's a role guy.
Yeah.
Not that that's bad. I'm just lowering my personal bar for where I think Keegan's going.
Well, I think he went from being like a max rookie scale extension player to a 4-year, $80, $85 million player.
Yeah.
Which
is not bad.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, again, I would put him in the same exact like bucket that you put Cam Johnson. Cam Johnson throughout his career. This is who he's been.
Mm-hmm.
This year is him averaging over 19 points a game. That's just...
Keegan would do that on the Nets too, I think.
Yeah, well, I think anyone would do that on the Nets because they don't have anyone else scoring. But I also, like, realistically, Cam has never been that player, and then all of a sudden he is that player, and that's where you're like, okay, red flag. Like, I don't believe that that's who he is, and I think there would be a more likely that if you were... that the Kings, if they would have gone out and got Cam Johnson and put him on this roster... would have instantly dropped to 12 to 13 points a game and gone back to who he is as a player. Still a great shooter. Still a very, very good athlete. Still a good defender. Very switchable. All those things. But just shave 6 points off his points per game because personality-wise, that's who he is. He's not going to be able to step in and go, hey, I'm the guy who's averaging almost 20 points a game. Give me the ball. Where Malik Monk is.
Yep.
And DeMar DeRozan, he doesn't care. He's going to go, if you're not going to give him those shots, he's literally going to walk over and just take the ball from you and then go dribble and go do his thing.
Yep.
He doesn't care.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think like Keegan's personality plays so much into this and the leap that he hasn't taken. I don't think the Kings have helped him.
I'd feel so much different if he was 22 years old.
Oh, yeah.
But he's 24 now. He'll be 25 at the start of next year.
Yeah.
I think this might just be who he is. And again, not that that's a bad thing.
Yeah, and just he'll fluctuate between like
where he fits with the Kings.
12 and 16 points per game for his career, and that's what he's going to be because that's kind of where the team has kind of pushed him.
Yep.
And really, that's what they've done.
Yep.
You just 100%. Went out and got a whole nother scorer that can go take more shots away. So, interesting.
All right, let's talk about the Super Bowl. We'll do plenty of more Kings, but the Chiefs and Eagles are playing on Sunday. The oxygen has been sucked out of the room by the NBA trade deadline and all the stuff going on with the Kings. So we're going to spend a little time talking football.
Oh,
yeah, we'll do that next. That's James. Pretty significant game on Sunday, I've heard.
I love football.
That's James and Kyle. We're the Insiders back in a second on ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
James Hamm's there. I'm Kyle Madsen. Before we get into the Super Bowl, Valentine's Day is next Friday, y'all. 1 week from today. The good news is, if you're like, oh, shoot, that's a week from today, I got to do something. James and I got you.
We do. We've got you. We have partnered with Strelitzia Flowers out of Davis, California. Absolutely spectacular. They've been in business for over 50 years. Local business. Started their company by going and selling flowers on the campus of UC Davis out of a bucket. These are good people who do great work. And we are very excited to partner with them. We are going to give away a dozen long stem roses with free delivery. We've been giving one away every day this week. I don't know if you won out there or not, but we'll have a contest. We have a contest page. We'll give you a code word for that in a little while. But if not, don't be that guy that waits until the last second. You know, sports station here, we do have a large male population in the chat, but also as you know, listeners out there, go out and get ahead of the game and don't be that guy at the grocery store at 5 o'clock on Valentine's Day, picking through the dregs of what's left.
You don't want that.
No. So go to StrelitziaFlowersCompany.com and use the code RADIO224 for $10 off any purchase of $100 or more. Also, if you go to ESPN1320.com, we actually have a button right there. You can click on it and go straight to their website where you can order flowers for next Friday. We'll be back talking about this in just a little while, and we'll give you a code word. So make sure to tune in, and we will give you a code word for today's drawing for a dozen long stem roses.
Hell yeah. Call the Oak Grove Kia Talk on at 916-909-1320, 916-909-1320. So the Super Bowl is happening on Sunday.
Okay.
Chiefs-Eagles rematch of a couple of years ago, a thrilling game a couple of years ago that the Eagles were a holding call away from winning. I know there's a lot of, I don't like to be fan police.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hate this so much that you're not going to watch, cool.
Yeah.
If you're not a football fan and you're like, yeah, I don't really, the Super Bowl does nothing for me, cool. I don't, it's just for me, and again, this is not hating, this is just complex. DJ Complex.
Yeah.
Not a sports guy.
He doesn't know anything about sports at all.
He'll come up in the kitchen here at the studio and be like, hey, so how are the sports?
Yes.
They're sportsing, dude. No, but he goes, oh yeah, that's right, the Super Bowl is on Sunday. He's like, that's my favorite day to go to Costco because nobody's there.
The day before? Oh no.
Nightmare.
Yes.
Absolutely. If you're right now, honestly, if you got to go to Costco at any point before the Super Bowl, Godspeed. No, but he's like, that's what, and I can't compute in my brain that's a thing that people do, that you can just wake up on Super Bowl Sunday because it's just been an event my entire life.
Oh yeah.
I don't remember what happened in the last time the Niners were in the Super Bowl because I was 4, but I remember January of 95. I remember my parents having people over at the house. And we just had Super Bowl parties down the street at a neighbor's house every year. So that's just been a thing my entire life. I can't put myself in the space of the person who just wakes up on Super Bowl Sunday and is like, it's a normal Sunday. There's nothing going on. I'm going to go to Costco now. What? There's a whole global event happening.
I mean,
what are you talking about?
In all honesty, I would watch just for the commercials.
Yeah.
Like that, if I'm, I would just sit there and watch.
Do you do a Super Bowl like shindig, little party?
We probably will have like a small group of people over this year.
Do you shush everyone when the commercials are on?
Yeah, sometimes
it's tough though.
It is. It's tough. You don't want to be rude, but you have to be like, hey, there's a commercial on.
There's so many times where because you'll get the post Super Bowl write ups of like, here's the all the commercials ranked. And I'll go read those, and I'm like, I remember 4 of these.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't, you know, if you're not listening or you're not paying attention, you're just going to, it's a commercial. It's on for 30 or 60 seconds, and it's over.
Yeah. We got the new TV.
Yeah, that's big time for you.
I'm excited.
Just in time for the big game.
To have, to watch it on the new TV, and then, you know, the bar. Got the bar cooking.
These are, regardless of what you feel about the Chiefs and the Eagles, I haven't decided who I'm rooting for yet.
Okay.
I'll find out Sunday. I'm rooting for my underdog lineups first. That's the main thing
here. That's a segue right there.
But nah, no, not really. that's just what I'm doing. So I'll have a rooting interest there. But I literally, I've flip-flopped so many times on, I'm definitely rooting for the Chiefs because I cannot stand the Eagles. Big Dom and Nick Sirianni and the fan base. They
the
just
tush
like
push.
The, I'm fine with the tush push, to be honest. figure out how to stop it. the Bills couldn't figure out how to get a first down with one. But no, so there's like so many things I dislike about the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's just a lot of things I don't like about the Chiefs. I don't want to watch them win again. I need a Chiefs fan to be humbled one time. But then it's like at the expense of the Eagles winning. But anyways, I'll find out Sunday when something happens in the game and my body is like, yes, I'm glad that thing happened.
I love that you can have that, moment. Because I'm just walking in the game, I don't really care.
Sure.
But if I have to choose a team, I'm choosing the Chiefs.
Yep. When someone says, who are you rooting for?
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. when the Niners were there against the Chiefs, it was, like, all in on Niners.
Of course.
Now it's like, okay. Like, if the Chiefs win, I will be happy.
Yeah.
If the Eagles win, I'll be like, meh. Like, okay. It's fine. Like, I'm not going to, like, shed a tear.
It's not
going to
ruin my day. Yeah. No. And it'll be cool. Like, honestly, if the Eagles win, I'm tapping in to WIP, our sister station in Philly, on the Free Odyssey app. And I'm watching all the videos of the carnage that's going to happen in Philly streets. It's going to be incredible. That fan base is amazing. I hate them, but they're incredible.
Yep, they are.
So, I don't quite know yet who I'm pulling for.
I do like that like the week of the, this is usually the biggest week, right? Where mm-hmm. you get the Hall of Fame announcements, and we do have that.
Mm-hmm.
And did Eli Manning get snubbed as a first ballot Hall of Famer?
No.
No, he did
not. He didn't. Also, Luke Kuechly didn't get snubbed as a first ballot Hall of Famer. If Patrick Willis had to wait 5 ballots to get in, Luke Kuechly can wait a while.
That's right.
Get out of here.
I do like, I like the class, though.
It's a strong, really strong class.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought the video today of LaDainian Tomlinson surprising mm-hmm. Antonio Gates, absolutely spectacular.
Yep.
Like such a cool video.
Yep.
I'm here for Jared Allen, Eric Allen, and Sterling Sharp makes it.
Shout out to Sterling Sharp, man.
Yeah.
In my brain, he's been a Hall of Famer. I'm so happy he's in.
It was just his career was so short because of the injury.
Yep.
Yeah.
But man.
Yeah, no, he was great. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So.
And Josh Allen is your NFL MVP, despite not being a first-team All-Pro.
That's weird.
So I've heard the explanation on that.
Okay.
On the split vote. Because there were a bunch of people who voted Lamar Jackson first team all pro ahead of Josh Allen, but then Josh Allen MVP ahead of Lamar Jackson. And the explanation is essentially the all pro stuff is stats. What are the best stats? And Lamar Jackson's statistics were better than Josh Allen's.
Okay.
But then Josh Allen got the MVP votes because there's more of like a team dynamic and a team aspect to that. I think what it is the reason Nikola Jokic lost to Joel Embiid a couple of years ago. Because they said, hey, he's not going to get a third one here because he hasn't won a title yet. He doesn't get to enter that stratosphere of having 3 MVPs because he has not won a title. He doesn't get to be that. So here, Joel Embiid had a great year. He's going to get it. That's why I think Josh Allen got it. Because people went, Lamar Jackson doesn't get to be back-to-back without a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I think that's what gets held over his head. He was better than Josh Allen this year. Like just,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Straight up.
I agree. But team-wise, the Bills were better.
No doubt.
Yeah.
So if that's the explanation, like, okay. But I think part of it is people look at Lamar Jackson and they go, okay, he was good in the regular season, but how good was he really? Because look at the playoffs. And I think that is something, and it's, dude, we have this exact same conversation about Domantas Sabonis. It's, okay, yeah, that's a nice regular season, but like, a playoffs anyone? Like, that. I think that's what's happening to Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen doesn't run into it because everybody goes, oh, man, poor Josh Allen against the Chiefs. Boy, he just can't. He was so good, but you know what? The refs screwed him. And then there was the 13 seconds game where he didn't get the ball back at the end. Man, Josh Allen really, I mean, in spirit, has beat the Chiefs a couple of times already. He deserves an MVP. This was the MVP Luka was supposed to win this year. Like, here's your lifetime achievement award.
Yes.
You just get it. Just don't faceplant, don't get hurt, and faceplant, and you're going to be the MVP. I think that's what happened.
Well, now there's a potential because he's a Laker for him to get six MVPs, so we'll see.
Six MVPs in the next 5 years.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
they'll override the rule about the 65 games. No, Luka gets it. We're good.
All right. We got more Kings coming up. We got more Super Bowl coming up. We're going to give you some free stuff. Mad Props at 11:45. Jesse Tapia is going to hop in for Mad Props. It's going to be a ton of fun. Plus your calls on the Elk Grove Kia Talk line at 916-909-1320. All that coming up in a jam-packed second hour. He's James Hammond, Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.